It's the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson.
Now, while this is all going on, I went through President Trump's speech and Chuck and Nancy's rebuttal.
The most important story.
The American people finally said enough, and that is why they elected Donald Trump.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Britain's version of Medicare for All is struggling with long waits for care.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
Because ideas matter.
It's the AmeriChicks, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson. We are having conversations about those important issues out there. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to be going through some important headlines in segments one and two. Segments three and four, we'll be talking with Rob Nadelson. He has written a very important piece. It says, advocates of socialism should know its horrific history. And we're going to be talking about socialism on a regular basis because there are many that have been romanticizing socialism. They see the word social in there. They think that socialism is social. It's not very social at all. What they want to do is take other people's stuff and give it to other people. And the elites then take money, take their cut as the money goes by. So we'll be talking about socialism on that. Steve,
yes.
Did you have a happy Father's Day?
Yes, it was, as we were just sharing a little while ago, I'm just sitting here totally cracking up over the antics of my, 17, 18-month-old grandson. He's the proverbial kid running around with a butter knife looking for an outlet to stick it in. He is just on the go looking for trouble all the time.
So you're glad you're the grandfather and not the father.
Oh,
huh?
My gosh. I don't know that I could handle that.
You know, I did something really special for Father's Day. One of the World War II veterans who I've interviewed, Ralph Whitlock, he lives right here in the metro area. In fact, he sings with the Parker Chorale. So he's in his 90s, and he has a beautiful voice, an operatic voice. And I got an email from him that said that he was going to be singing at his church yesterday morning, and a really beautiful piece, and invited me to come out. And so that's what I did. And it was a beautiful, beautiful piece regarding the prodigal son, which was very appropriate for Father's Day. And it was just really, really special. And he has an amazing voice, had the lyrics completely memorized. He's in his 90s. And I talked with him afterwards, and he said, you know, we just have to continue to strive for excellence, strive to do better and better. And I tell you, what an inspiration that was. So great Father's Day on that. Wanted to just again remind you, as we're going to be talking about socialism, that the real question, and whenever we look at any of these issues out there, you can really boil it down to freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And socialism is force. And free people don't really like force that much. And young millennial, Dr. Stephen Kessler, PhD, has us ask three questions when we're trying to take a look at these different issues, when we're talking with others about this. Is, first of all, do you have any skin in the game? Because if people have skin in the game, they make better decisions. Secondly, are we bringing people up or are we yanking them down? And lastly, you felt good, but did you do good? And you can actually take all of these things that we're talking about, and we're seeing a socialization of important segments of our economy. And we need to be pulling that back and working towards freedom. We've been moving to an administrative state instead of a representative state. And so you can see this in transportation, education, energy, housing, water, across the board. So we're going to get into headlines in just a moment.
I got this really cool GIF file or JPEG that I need to get to you and Zach, because every time you're going to post on socialism, this needs to run with it. It says, mice die in mouse traps because they do not understand why the cheese is free.
We may have to add that to our mantra there as well. Thank you, Producer Steve. And to that, I want to say thank you to you, to Zach, to Patty, and Keith, keeping this train on the track. Greatly appreciate it. And thank you to our listeners. Greatly appreciate you as well. In fact, when I was at church yesterday, a woman introduced herself, and I explained, you know, that I was there and that I had these radio shows. And she said, I so appreciate your voter's guide. I wait until it comes out. And she said, I continue to check the website until you had that there. And I greatly, greatly appreciate it. So thank you to all you listeners out there. You are all truly valued and treasured. Now, our inspiration for today is a little long, but I was thinking about it yesterday, and it's like, I really wish I could sing like Ralph Whitlock, but I can't. But I am going to, there is a song that I think is so important as we realize we are in this fight out there for our country. And of course, it's the lyrics from The Man of La Mancha, To Dream the Impossible Dream. And it says, to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to go where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. And this is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that when man scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star. And for our funnies, as you know, I have found a crime a day from FreedomWorks. They tweet out a crime a day, and these are things that are laws and regulations right here in the good old United States. So USC stands for United States Code of Laws, and CFR stands for Code of Federal Regulations. So each of these things are in the laws and the regulations. So Steve, did you know it's a federal crime for egg breakers in an eggplant to let their egg cups overflow? You're in the slammer for that one.
I'm speechless.
Okay. Number two, did you know it's a federal crime to sell mozzarella cheese made with a mixture of cow milk and water buffalo milk?
Who would have thought?
I'm so glad that they're out there protecting us on that. And lastly, it is a federal crime to accept campaign donations from foreign nationals if they total more than $2,000 in a calendar year. You know, and I thought about it. I mean, I think it's a little weird. You either can accept it or you can't, you know, so you have a limit on it. I don't know. I find that just a little interesting. I think if we don't want to have foreign nationals contributing to campaigns, then we should just not have them. We shouldn't have a $2,000 limit on that. So, okay, I want to jump into headlines. How are we doing on time here?
That's a definition of bureaucracy or a prime example.
Yeah.
Either yes or no, but no, let's put this limit out there. Well, who's going to keep track of that?
Right.
Well, we'll hire somebody.
Right. But see, I think that then what it does is it opens up the opportunity for cheating.
That too.
And so that's why, you know, either yes or no. Okay. We've been trying to get to this, and we just had so much going on last week. And this is from KDVR.com. Says big money is being spent to defeat a Lakewood ballot measure restricting development. And while it might not feel like it, it is election season in Lakewood, Colorado. Ballots have been mailed out for a special election on July 2nd. Initiative 200 seeks to limit development in the city, capping new housing projects at 1% of the city's current housing stock. The measure applies to new apartments, condos, and single-family homes. Projects over 40 units would need to go in front of city council. According to recent campaign finance reports, over $200,000 has been donated by the National Association of Realtors to defeat the measure. The Colorado Association of Realtors donated $25,000, and the Associated General Contractors of Colorado also donated $25,000. As realtors, it's our job to ensure housing remains as attainable as possible. Question 200 is short-sighted policy that will increase the price of housing by driving up property taxes and mortgage payments. Growth is an issue, but 200's unintended consequences will hurt existing and future homeowners. And that's by LaDon Spearling with the Denver Metro Association of Realtors member, or she's a Denver Metro Association of Realtors member and a Lakewood resident. Okay, Steve, I want to break this down just a little bit. I don't think that restricting development is a good idea. Anytime you start to put boundaries in, it's going to increase the cost of housing into that particular city. We've seen it, though, across the metro area. And it's actually been done via, and when we had Randall O'Toole on, it's been done regarding these urban growth barriers. You're seeing these boundaries in all of these different cities. This is, I think, a bit of a knee-jerk reaction to some significant frustration that the residents of Lakewood have. We're starting to see play out all of these policies that both Republican and Democrat mayors up and down the metro corridor have been pushing, and that is they've been pushing new development. You'll see these three- and four-story apartment buildings. And these planners come out of public administration, and that's a degree at colleges. They come out and notice it's the word administration. It's not representative government. It's public administration. And so you've seen across the country kind of this cut and paste policies. You know, all of a sudden you see all these, you know, these bike lanes with the bicycle on it. Well, you see that throughout all the different metro area, throughout all the little cities here in the metro area. You're seeing up and down the corridor a push to build these, you know, 4 and 5 story apartment buildings. And then the other push is they're right by light rail. They want to try to put people into light rail. And they're not putting enough parking spots, approving enough parking spots for these apartment buildings. So now what you're seeing is they think that people give up their cars. They're not giving up their cars. Now, that since there's not enough parking, these people in the apartment buildings are now parking in the neighborhoods. And now that folks are starting to see the effects of these policies for all these years, pushing people to light rail, onto buses, to bicycles, they don't want to do that. They have been subsidizing much of these apartment buildings up and down the corridor. And all of a sudden people are like, I don't like this. I don't know what to do. And so you get to this point where they say no more growth, because now they're seeing the policies of what has been happening up and down the corridor. Steve, do you have a comment?
Who's behind? Who's the sponsor of Initiative 200?
You know, I don't know for sure who it is. I should have probably checked that out. I don't know who it is exactly.
Well, the reason I ask the question is, okay, obviously they're coming with a certain mindset that says this particular city, Lakewood, and all the combined cities of the metro area have done next to nothing to give us a better infrastructure to handle this kind of growth. So, I see their frustration in a move like this to say, hey, could we at least maybe pull back a little bit here until we get caught up in infrastructure that'll support this kind of population? Well, and I'm not trying to get up one side or down on the other. Mm-hmm. It's just, where does it come from? Who's sponsoring this? And then when I see these other groups throwing big money at it and basically, you know, are they going to thwart the will of the people? I don't know.
Well, I understand, and I really think that the Realtors Association, they, you know, the thing that they really should, and I think ultimately think that they support, is private property rights, you know, and for people to have their own individual homes. But I think that they have actually been, in some ways, hoodwinked as they've ended up supporting, and I don't think they really meant to, but they've supported these different policies that have put, you know, is the policies are really antithetical to home ownership. And I think that, you know, right now we are finally seeing what has happened with that. People are frustrated. And if it was a free market thing, Steve, I'd be okay with it. But it's not a free market thing. You're seeing subsidizing light rail significantly. Just that little 2.3 miles down there by our house, it cost probably, the initial estimates were $207 million. When I was on city council and I looked at the contracts, though, the contracts were $256 million. And so I don't know for sure where it actually came in at, but typically it doesn't come in under those estimates. And so you see that you're subsidizing there, and then you're seeing subsidizing, quote unquote, affordable housing. And, you know, the National Association of Realtors has said that 25% of the cost of housing is from rules and regulations. So how about we reduce those? So we need to go to break, though. But I think that this is a knee-jerk reaction to a frustration of policies that have been happening, and people didn't really realize it because we don't typically go to city council meetings. And so I don't think that I really support the growth limit on it, but I understand their frustration on it. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, the Rockies and the Padres split their four-game series. The Rocks are off today. They're traveling to Arizona for a three-game series with the Diamondbacks and then on to L.A. with the Dodgers. And a great place to watch the games is Hooters. It's the place to be this summer. Enjoy Hooters beach-worthy seafood items like amazing fish tacos, delicious snow crab legs with mouth-watering buffalo shrimp. That stuff is good. Hooters has plenty of ice-cold beer options to help you cool down this summer as well. And they've got a great lunch special. 9 items for $9, 11 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. You have 9 delicious menu items. So you can dine in, you can get your food to go, or you can have it delivered right to your front door. I think you have to be in the restaurant, though, for those specials. For more information, visit HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com, and let them know that you know the Americhicks. We'll be right back with more headlines.
All Americhick sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the Americhicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Americhicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at Americhicks.com. That's Americhicks.com.
Social media is important to the Americhicks, since it's an avenue we can utilize to hear from and speak to all of our friends. For those of you who enjoy listening to the show, we'd love to hear what's on your radar. Follow us and talk to us at Americhicks Twitter and Facebook pages. Also, if you're a business owner who could benefit from some extra foot traffic from like-minded friends, consider advertising on the Americhicks radio show. Contact us at Americhicks.com or email Kim at Americhicks.com.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson with the Americhicks at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. And now introducing Vino and Veritas in Fort Collins at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson with the Americhicks would like to thank Otto Fireguard for sponsoring this fascinating exploration of the U.S. Constitution. And sponsoring the new Vino and Veritas in Fort Collins, Kim Munson looks forward to celebrating U.S. Constitution Week in Grand Lake. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at Americhicks.com.
Welcome back to the Americhicks with Kim Munson, where we are dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. And I want to have a conversation about, this is from the AmericanMirror.com. Headline, Denver council member wins with promise to impose communism by any means necessary. Candy DeBaca, I believe, won a runoff race recently against former Denver City Council President Albus Brooks. And she did it by promising to implement communist policies by any means necessary. DeBaca was among three candidates that unseated incumbents in the recent Tuesday runoff. And she's already drawing comparisons to socialist Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's historic, said Carlos Valverde, state director for Colorado Working Families, a political activist group that supported DeBaca. It is a vein of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I don't know what to say, Steve, that we are actually electing known communists to our city councils right here in Denver. And people have got to wake up on what this is ultimately going to mean, because, you know, one of the things that they talk about is people shouldn't have single family homes. We should be sharing. And so you're going to start to see, you know, through taxes and different policies, that's going to make it more and more difficult for people to have single family homes in Denver, because the planners want to move everybody into 4-story apartment buildings and have you ride around on light rail, on bicycles and buses. And it, you know, people don't show up for many of these elections like this. And when that happens, this is what happens. You know, when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was elected, I mean, the voter turnout was dismal. But
it won't be the next time.
You don't think so?
No, I was starting to see some signs that maybe New Yorkers are, well, her particular district is the Bronx?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they're not really pleased. And maybe this is a wake-up call, but it won't be so dismal the next time.
Okay, I wanted to just check one thing here. And
I just wanted to say, what this particular lady's comments, in my mind, it invokes a horse race. She's out of the gate, and she's speaking very boldly here. But after a couple city council meetings where people are out in the galleries lining up to, you know, chasing her, I guess, will she moderate?
Well, I don't know. But I think, and I'd first heard about this group several years ago. It's called Emerge. There's Emerge Colorado and there's Emerge America. And the advisory board, and so what it is, and you can look it up, but hold on here. It says, we are inspiring women to run. We're honing their skills to win. So what they're doing, they're first of all recruiting. It says, we find Democrat women who should run for office and get them into training programs. Two, they train them. They teach Democrat women the cutting edge campaign tools they need to run and win. Number three, they connect. They provide alumni with a powerful network of fellow alums, elected officials, and gatekeepers who can open doors. And they are really affecting elections. Okay, so I just looked it up, and this Candy Sidibaka, I guess it is. I apologize. I do like to try to get everybody's names correctly pronounced, and I apologize on that. But I took a look then at the advisory board for Emerge Colorado. And it is truly a who's who of women. Morgan Carroll, Kristana Duran. Here we go. Dickie Lee Hollinghurst. Dottie Lamb. Jean Nicholson. Faith Winner. Brittany Pedersen. Okay, now let's think about it. These are women. Dottie Lamb. They are training people that are winning elections, and that's very effective. But these women are communists and socialists and communists. I think the veil is off on what this, you know, what this agenda has been by the Democrat Party. It is pulling them further and further and further to socialism and communism. And actually, there was a survey out that said a number of women actually think socialism is a good idea. So we have a very important job to do here, Steve, to continue to talk about, you know, what the real effects are of socialism. Socialism isn't social. It ultimately hurts people.
Well, if listeners haven't picked up on this particular story, look at these quotes. I don't believe our current economic system actually works. Strange. For the last 200 years, it seems to be doing quite well. Well, she goes on to say, capitalism by design is extractive, and in order to generate profit in a capitalist system, something has to be exploited. That's land, labor, or resources.
Well, and she clearly does it in a capitalist society. In essence, people, and the free market keeps people pretty darn honest, and that is you need to develop a product or have a service that other people are willing to trade their hard-earned dollars for. It's not exploiting, it's providing a service. And what exploits people is government. And so she clearly doesn't have an understanding of what capitalism really is. And capitalism rewards people for doing a job well, for putting together a product or service that people are willing to trade their hard-earned dollars for. And a perfect example of that is the cell phone. I do not begrudge Steve Jobs for becoming wealthy, for creating the iPhone. People have, they trade a lot of their hard-earned dollars to buy these phones and all the different apps and all that kind of stuff because they feel that they're getting value and it makes their life better. Now, we could certainly talk about social media all across the board, but I do not begrudge him because he created something that people were willing to share their hard-earned dollars for. So we're going to keep an eye on what's going on Denver City Council. And each of you needs to keep an eye on who is being elected to your city councils as well, and we'll continue to watch that story. We're going to go to break here in just a moment. Before we do that, though, we've got Jason McBride on the line. Hope you had a happy Father's Day, Jason McBride.
I most certainly did. Thank you, Kim.
And what's on your mind this morning?
Well, I had sent you over some info, kind of thinking about is Social Security an entitlement? And I don't think it is 100% because we pay our own money into Social Security, and we have the idea, at least, that someday it will directly benefit us. And I don't know if I would consider that completely like an entitlement that you just want to get for not putting anything in for. Does that make sense?
It does. And the employer also has to put money in.
That's right. That's right. Both sides do have to put money in. But I think Social Security is a pretty good deal, and it's a strong proposition, especially compared to what we have the chance to get out versus what we put in. And I sent over some numbers, Kim, to kind of look at that. If we take a worker that started, let's say, in 1978, age 26, and they hit the maximum earnings every year for the whole 40 years, they would have contributed about $177,000 into the Social Security system. And if he or she is now age 66, they would get a first-year benefit of about $2,861 a month, which is over $34,000 a year. And, Kim, that's guaranteed for life. Maybe beyond your own life if you have a spouse, and it also has a cost of living adjustment built into it in most years. I mean, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. So one question that comes up is, well, but I could do better if I just had that money and I invested it on my own. So I looked at these numbers. And then let's say over the 40 years, you just took that money and invested it on your own to try to match what Social Security does for you. Well, the experts have kind of said that you have to take out about 4% a year as a safe withdrawal rate to not, you know, burn your money down and run out of money. So I did the calculations, Kim. And in order to equal or have a nest egg big enough after that 40 years to equal the Social Security benefit of $34,000, you'd have had to build that $177,000 up to about $858,000. And do you know what rate of return you have to get every year to achieve that?
What?
8.5%.
Wow. That's pretty difficult to do over 40 years.
It is difficult, and people think 8%, well, the market does 8%, I'm sure I could do that, but there's a company called Dalbar, which actually studies all these things, and what they have found is the average investor doesn't even come close to that. I mean, they do between like 2 and 4% a year. So even if we're generous, Kim, when we say the smart investor does 4%, you know, they don't have 858 after the 40 years. They've got 340,000. So here's your two choices now, and neither one's very good. One, you could take the 34,000 a year to match Social Security, but you'll be out of money in 10 years. Or you can have the other choice that is not that attractive and cut your income down to about 13,600 a year. And it's still not guaranteed that that's going to last forever. So when you look at it from that point of view, I mean, actually, I think it's a pretty hard deal to beat.
Well, yeah, it certainly is. And that's one of the things that I think people need to realize is that you, Jason, and, you know, your colleagues over there at Presidential Wealth Management, you know, you really focus, and you can tell by all the preparation that you do, you really focus on people's own personal economy, their own personal well-being. And I know that you're willing to sit down with people and go through, you know, kind of the planning as Social Security is a part of their, you know, their component, and so that they can be assured that their personal economy is going to be working for them, you know, in the future. So I know that you're willing to sit down with people and talk with them about that.
Well, that's right, and this would just be part of it. We try to take the same kind of thinking, whether it's Social Security, a pension, what order do you take money out of your IRAs or other investments, and figuring out expenses, excuse me, correctly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you do have to really dig in and try to be as accurate as possible. You know, kids, kind of like a video game up until you actually retire. It's just kind of numbers, sort of. But once you actually have to live on that money, you depend on it for a paycheck every month, it's not a game anymore. It becomes real very, very quickly.
Well, that's for sure. So if you'd like to talk with Jason McBride about your own personal economy, you can check out chickspresidential.com. That's chickspresidential.com. That's our landing page together. There's all kinds of great information there, your podcast, everything. So, Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Kim. Bye-bye.
You bet. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Rob Nadelson, you know him. He is a former constitutional law professor. He's the senior fellow of jurisprudence over at the Independence Institute. He is an excellent author. But he has a recent piece, Advocates of Socialism Should Know Its Horrific History. And so we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Rob Nadelson.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The Americhicks with Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company as your financial business consultant. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for next year's tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company. Call 303-791-3000 today.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and Americhick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email kim@americhicks.com for your initial style consult. kim@americhicks.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Americhicks with Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, americhicks.com. Sign up for our emails. And thrilled to have on the line with me, Rob Nadelson. He has written a very important piece. It was in the Complete Colorado. Advocates of socialism should know its horrific history. And Rob, in the earlier segments, we were talking about there is a known communist that is now on Denver City Council. What is going on and what can we do about it? I don't think people understand what socialism and communism really does.
Well, first, Kim, it's thrilling to me to be back with you. And I concur, you're right. I mean, one of the things I started off with in the article is that that critics of the public school system must be congratulating themselves in kind of a gruesome way, because it's clear that the schools have not been teaching recent history. Socialism is probably the most debunked political system in the world, and yet it keeps coming up. And every generation, you've got more people who say, duh, it just sounds like a really good idea. And it's a horrible idea. Just in the 20th century alone, it caused tens of millions of deaths. And many of the countries that our local homegrown socialists point out as countries that they would like to be like have, in fact, distanced themselves, have largely abandoned socialism.
Well, yeah, and I think people don't realize, and you were going through the totals, and I had researched these as well, that it's under socialist governments, because ultimately socialism and communism gets to force, and ultimately force can get to death. And so in communist China, they don't know the official count because they didn't keep count, but they estimate anywhere from 40 to 80 million people died. In Russia, 30 to 40 million. Nazi Germany, and Nazi stands for National Socialist German Workers' Party, perhaps 11 million. I think in Cambodia, Pol Pot, I think that I think there was over like 1.2 million, but the problem was there were only 6 million people in the country. I mean, you don't do well as a regular person under socialism.
No, if you have political connections, you may be able to get by for what passes as elite luxuries. So in the Soviet Union, for example, if you were a very good boy or girl and belonged to the Communist Party, you might get a nice two-bedroom apartment in Moscow. That would be your kind of pinnacle of opportunity. Others might have two-bedroom apartments, but they might have to put two or three families on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what socialism does, one of the things it does is it creates enormous inequalities. I mean, people think of socialism as rectifying inequality and having more equality. That's not really true, because the people who are connected wind up receiving all kinds of perks, which don't look very impressive from our standpoint, but serve to distinguish them greatly from the rest of the people. Recently, I reread a classic, George Orwell's 1984, and I was struck by the continuing relevance of that book. And one of the things he points out is that members of the inner party had all these little luxuries that everybody else didn't have, like real coffee, for example. But from our standpoint, they would be viewed as insignificant.
You know, speaking of that, I was thinking about Venezuela. Venezuela, is a country that has many, many resources. And I remember when it was thriving and prospering. Now people don't have enough food. They don't have toilet paper. They don't have coffee. And I was in one of our supermarkets just recently, and I just was in awe of, there was chickens on rotisseries, and there was any kind of dessert you wanted. And I'm thinking, how is it that people don't see that this great benefit of capitalism, where we have all these choices, where we can trade our hard-earned dollars for the products that we want? I don't understand, Rob. I'm troubled by this romance with socialism.
One reason, as I mentioned, is the failure of the education system. Also, of course, most people have never been abroad and been in socialist countries. Let me tell you an anecdote from my own experience. In the 1970s, when I was in law school, I took a few weeks off and I went to Great Britain. And that was the so-called winter of discontent. This was the height of British socialism. And it was a truly gloomy place. I mean, nothing was working. The phone system was lousy. The transportation system was lousy. The workers were always on strike. The inflation rate was outrageous. I mean, it was just a horrible, dark, gloomy situation. Well, I did not return to Britain for 25 years. 25 years later, in 1999, my wife and I went back to England. And it was... the changes were indescribable. For one thing, many things that had been socialized, such as the coal business and the transportation business and the airports, had all been privatized. But the standard of living had soared. People were upbeat. They were happy. It wasn't just that they were wealthier. They had smiles on their faces. What happened? What happened in that 25 years? The answer is Margaret Thatcher happened. Margaret Thatcher had largely... not as much as she would have liked, but in many ways dismantled British socialism, giving Britain a chance to thrive. Today, again, we have our local socialists pointing to Great Britain. Today, Great Britain ranks higher on indexes of economic freedom than we do. In fact, they are, in fact, less socialist than we do. We are in everything except their healthcare system, and their healthcare system has been moving in our direction, or at least moving in a capitalist direction. And here's a story, Kim, that later on I talked to one young woman about the changes in Britain, and I believe that she was British. Remarkable changes in Britain, and I said it's all because of one extraordinary woman. And this person's response was, yes, Princess Diana did a lot, didn't she?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, here was this Brit who had no concept of what her own prime minister had done for the country. And I saw that was common in Britain. I was at one a party at Oxford, because I was living at Oxford, and reading at the university there. And I remember my cousin, who lived in Great Britain, bad-mouthing privatization and bad-mouthing Margaret Thatcher. And another Oxonian, Oxford woman, came over to him and said, "Miriam, do you remember what it was like? You know, for example, consider the phone system. You couldn't get a telephone call through, and you had lots of choices in phones so long as they were all rotary dial and black. No?" And Miriam sat and she listened, and she said, "You know, you're right. You're right. I guess Margaret Thatcher had to do some things." And that was a hard admission for her, because she was a laborite. She was a moderate socialist. But people forget, and that's the reason why the education system has to remind people that of socialism's record, and also of the heroes who have turned it back. Not Princess Diana,
right.
But people like Margaret Thatcher and Roger Douglas in New Zealand, who turned New Zealand into the third freest, economically freest country in the world, and so forth.
Well, you talk about the education system, Rob Nadelson, and I really think that the government-run public education system is letting our kids down. Instead of focusing on teaching these important things, you know, one of the things I've been concerned about is this this sex education bill that is now law here in Colorado. Instead of teaching kids and helping them learn the tools to critically think, you know, and understand history, you know, we're not focusing, I don't think, on the things that kids need to learn. And are you encouraged? Are we going to turn this back? We just had this this young woman that was elected to city council in Denver, who says she is a communist and is wants to redistribute wealth. And her quotes are just absolutely amazing. Steve gave those in the earlier segments regarding capitalism. I mean, ultimately, I just see big danger here. What are we going to do, Rob Nadelson?
Well, of course, public education is a key here. One of the things is understanding that the way the left operates in our own country is largely out of the socialist playbook. So, for example, you saw over the weekend, we saw, this is very heartening, 2 million people taking to the streets in Hong Kong to resist the demands of the communist socialist government in on the mainland. And they were successful. They were successful in turning it back. Well, there's an article in Bloomberg News this morning which points out that one of the great reasons for the success of those mass demonstrations, when similar demonstrations 5 years ago did not succeed, was that this time the demonstrators had the backing of the business community. Now, there's a lesson there. What is it about business that made the difference? The answer is that business is a separate center of power. It's a separate center of power from the government. It's different. Similarly, families are traditionally independent centers of power. You know, a lot of decisions are made in families rather than in the government. Religious denominations, religion is traditionally separate from, it's a separate center of power and influence. The states in our federal system are separate centers of power and influence from Washington, D.C. Now, what do all those things have in common? Well, besides the fact that they're separate centers of power and influence, they're all on the socialist hit list. You know, you think about the way the left attacks the way they attack families, traditional family values, such as getting the public schools involved in what should be a family discussion, how they hate corporations, how they constantly try to denigrate states' rights, how they denigrate traditional religions. The reason is that what they're trying to do is they're attacking outside centers of power. They want everything to be concentrated in the government that they can control without inconvenient resistance from others. Same thing with the right to keep and bear arms. As long as you've got an armed citizenry, you've got some potential resistance to a socialist central government. So if when people understand, aha, that's what's going on, when they come to understand that, then a large part of the battle will have been won.
Okay, we're going to go to break, and I want to talk with you about how we're doing in that battle right now, if you're encouraged. So this is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. We're talking with Rob Nadelson. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect your private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Since losing her mother to breast cancer, Karen Levine has helped to organize a local fundraising event called Karen's for the Cure, raising money for breast cancer research. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, so call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Come join the 88 Drive-In for all your favorite blockbuster movies. We're open 7 days a week. Admission is only $9 per person and children under 12 are free. Friday, June 14th through Thursday, June 20th, features will include Aladdin, Dark Phoenix, and John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. And remember our popular Monday through Thursday pizza special. Get one 12-inch pizza served fresh and hot from our oven and two tall, cool 16-ounce sodas, all for only $12. Plus, now you can top it all off with our new sweet, crunchy churros and a steaming cup of hot chocolate. For more information, go to our Facebook page or visit our website at 88drivein.net.
You get more out of life when you go out to a movie.
Welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. Having a really important conversation with Rob Nadelson. He is a former constitutional law professor. He is the senior fellow of jurisprudence over at the Independence Institute. And very important books that you've written, as well as these publications that you do on a regular basis. They are so good. This one that you did recently, it was in the Complete Colorado, Advocates of Socialism Should Know Its Horrific History. Everyday people don't do very well under socialism. And what I have I honestly can't figure out this whole elite mentality, because I do really believe in this American idea that we're all created equal and have these rights to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. But that is antithetical to socialism. How are we doing right now, do you think, in America regarding this big push to socialism and communism?
Well, before I get to that, let me just mention, to try to answer your question, is, you know, why do people get into this elite mentality? You know, if you've owned a dog, or if you've been around dogs as I have, you realize that dogs operate largely by hierarchy, where people trade among themselves as equals for the most part. Dogs have this, they order their society according to, you know, who's top dog and who's bottom dog and so forth. Well, we have a certain tendency of that as well in our own genes, and there's always kind of a struggle. The capitalist side of us wants to just trade with others and make deals and peaceably get along. The socialist side of us wants to be dogs. I mean, we kind of want to be top dog, and if the fact that we're all living like dogs sometimes makes less difference to people than the opportunity to be top dog. And so really, you know, you could think of socialism as kind of a canine form of social organization. Now, as to how we're doing, I'm pessimistic about the United States right now. I'm very optimistic globally. I was looking this morning at the latest ranking from the Heritage Foundation of economic freedom, those countries which are all the countries in the world are ranked by economic freedom. And I'm just going to read you the top 10 very quickly and ask you what do most of them have in common. Well, number one is Hong Kong. Number two is Singapore. Number three, New Zealand. Number four, Switzerland. Number five, Australia. Number six, Ireland. Seven, United Kingdom. Eight, Canada. Nine, United Arab Emirates. And 10, Taiwan. You notice United States is no longer in the top.
That's astounding.
In the top 10. We used to be about third. But since the later Bush administration and the Obama administration have done their magic, we've slipped down the list. Okay, now going through that list, one of the things you noticed about it is that of those top 10, six of them, are either Great Britain or former British colonies. There is an enormous, a very great history of freedom that came with the British Empire and with British culture. That's, remember I mentioned that the socialist or left-wing playbook?
Mm-hmm.
They're really into multiculturalism to downplay our Anglo-American, our English tradition, and as well as our traditions from other places. Well, that's part of it, see. That English tradition is very heavily connected with law, with freedom, with individualism, and so forth, and that's antithetical to socialism. The second thing you notice about countries on the list is, like the United Kingdom, like Canada, like New Zealand, like Ireland, they're countries that you traditionally associate as socialist, but they're really not socialist anymore. They have mixed economies, that's to be sure, but they're freer than we are economically. And that's because of trends in the world of which Margaret Thatcher was a part in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. And these trends in favor of freedom continue. United States, on the other hand, which used to rank about third, is now at 12th, and which isn't low. It's still reasonably high. But we have had a lot of trouble maintaining our tradition of freedom under the relentless assault of the academic and governmental and foundation elites, and journalistic elites, and so I'm less optimistic about the United States.
Well, we need to be making the case in the battle of ideas that is raging in America today. That's one of the reasons why I do this show, is so that we can be having conversations about what's really going on out there. I had been asked to speak at a meeting right here in the metro area before the elections for Denver City Council. And there was a woman who unseated an incumbent on Denver City Council. And I listened to her speak, and I thought, she is very polished. She is saying not much, but she's saying it very well, because she was in front of a more conservative group. And so I did a little bit of research, and yes, in fact, she was part of this whole Emerge group. And she was elected, and I realized that this is very well organized. I think that freedom-loving people have been asleep at the wheel a bit on just this very organized, powerful movement to have people elected to school boards, city councils, you know, all the way up to Congress now. And what can we do? What can we do about it, Rob?
Well, you know, I don't think there's any one answer. I certainly think it's really important to support the Convention of States movement. As you know, I signed on to that movement mm-hmm. back in September after doing some research in that area. The Convention of States movement seeks to adopt constitutional amendments that restore some of the limits to the federal government that were in the original Constitution. We in America have a long history of using constitutional amendments very successfully to implement reforms. And what the Convention of States movement is doing is they're collecting state legislative resolutions. They've got 15 of them now, and they've got 34. We're going to have a convention for proposing amendments, like term limits, for example, or a balanced budget, or other efforts to restrain the federal government. When I was in academia, which I was for full-time for 25 years and part-time for 6 years, I came to learn that many of the bad ideas that infest our universities actually come down from the federal government. They're the product of federal agencies, federal aid, carefully planted grants, and so forth. There are also private leftists working to seed the system. I mean, a famous example is George Soros. He's got a right to do what he wants with his money, but people need to be aware that this is happening, and people on our side who have money need to support freedom-loving institutions. Let me just mention one other. This sounds like a crass commercial message, but I think it's a legitimate one. We see conservatives who have money often giving big grants to the University of Colorado and to other universities. That's not a good investment for your money. You're far better off giving money to an organization like the Independence Institute, for example, which supports freedom and will use the money far more efficiently than any university would. So it is kind of a source of frustration when I see conservative donors giving money to universities where I know from my personal experience working at universities that it's going to be misused.
Oh my gosh, that's for sure.
When they could be giving money to freedom-loving organizations like the Independence Institute,
or like the AmeriChicks, that's for sure.
So. Or like the AmeriChicks, or like the Convention of States movement.
You got it. Know? So, Rob, we are out of time. It always goes so quickly with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. That was Rob Nadelson. And our quote for today is from Alexis de Tocqueville. He was a French philosopher and statesman, and he came to America, and he was just enamored with the American idea. But what he said is, democracy and socialism have nothing in common but one word, equality. But notice the difference. While democracy seeks equality and liberty, socialism seeks equality in restraint and servitude. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.